The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter Number 1, Texts Number 28 and 29. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari. Recorded on March 18th, 2012, in Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Kita Pishashkrita Rudha Kuryayam Tam Anusmaran Samramba Bhaya Yogena Vindate Tat Svarupatam Evam Krishne Bhagavati Maya Manuje Ishvare Vairena Puttapapmana Tam Apu Anuchintaya.
I know only one mantra is on the board, but that gives you a chance to try to hear even more in the second mantra. We'll do both mantras.
Kita pesas krita rudha.
Kita pesas krita rudha.
Kujyayang tamanusmaram. Samrambhaya yogena. Vindate tatsvarupatam. Evam Krishne Bhagavati.
Evam Krishne Bhagavati.
Maya Manuja Ishvare.
Maya Manuja Ishvare.
Vairana Putta
Papmanas.
Tam Apur Anuchintaya. Kita Peshaskrita Rudha. Kuryayang Tamanusmaran. Sangarambhaya Yogena. Vindate Tatsvarupatam.
Evam Krishne Bhagavati.
Maya Manuja Ishvare. Vairena Putta
Papmanas.
Tam Apur Anuchintaya. Kita.
The grass worm.
Pishashkrita. By a bee. Rudha, confined, kudyayam, in a hole, in a wall, tam, that bee, anusmaran, thinking of, samrandabhaya bhogena, sambhayabhaya yogena, through intense fear and enmity. Vindate attains tat of that bee, svarupatam, the same form, evam, thus, Krishna, in Krishna, Bhagavati, the personality of Godhead, Maya Manuje, who appeared in his own energy
in his eternal human-like form. Ishvare, the Supreme, Vairena, by enmity, Puttapapmana, those purified of sins, Tam, him, Apu, attained, Anuchintaya, by thinking of. Translation in purport, by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. A grass worm confined in a hole of a wall by a bee always thinks of the bee in fear and enmity, and later becomes a bee simply because of such remembrance. Similarly, if the conditioned souls somehow or other think of Krishna, who is Satyarananda Vigraha, they will become free from their sins. Whether thinking of him as their worshipable Lord or an enemy, because of constantly thinking of him, they will regain their spiritual bodies. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 4:10, the Lord says, Vitaraga baya krodha manmaya mamupashrita bahavo jnana tapasa putamad bhavam agata. Being freed from attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attained transcendental love for me. There are two ways of constantly thinking of Krishna: as a devotee and as an enemy. A devotee, of course, by his knowledge and tapasya, becomes free from fear and anger and becomes a pure devotee. Similarly, an enemy, although thinking of Krishna inimically, thinks of him constantly and also becomes purified. This is confirmed elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita 9:30, where the Lord says, Apichat tadacharo bhajate mama nanyabhak sadar eva samantavya samyak davisato hitaha. Even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he engages in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated. A devotee undoubtedly worships the Lord with rapt attention. Similarly, if an enemy, Sudarachara, always thinks of Krishna, he also becomes a purified devotee. The example given here concerns the grass worm that becomes bee-like because of constantly thinking of the bee that forces it to enter a hole. By always thinking of the bee in fear, the grass worm starts to become a bee. This is a practical example. Lord Krishna appears within this material world for two purposes: paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya saduskritam, to protect the devotees and annihilate the demons. These sadhus and devotees certainly think of the Lord always, but duskritis, the demons like Kamsa and Shishupal, also think of Krishna in terms of killing him. By thinking of Krishna, both the demons and devotees attain liberation from the clutches of material maya. This verse uses the word maya manujay. When Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appears in his original spiritual potency, sambhavam yatmamayaya, he is not forced to accept a form made by material nature. Therefore, the Lord is addressed as Ishvara, the controller of maya. He is not controlled by maya. When a demon continuously thinks of Krishna because of enmity toward him, he is certainly freed from the sinful reactions of his life. To think of Krishna in any way, in terms of his name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, or anything pertaining to him, is beneficial for everyone. Shrindvatang svakata Krishna punya kshavana kirtana. Thinking of Krishna, hearing the holy name of Krishna, or hearing the pastimes of Krishna will make one pure, and then he will become a devotee. Our Krishna consciousness movement is therefore trying to introduce the system of somehow or other letting everyone hear the holy name of Krishna and take Krishna's prasad. Thus one will gradually become a devotee and his life will be successful.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Gada Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunatanvita Sajiva. Sadvaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhandritamscha.
Krishna Smaranam. Pretty amazing. Really, really amazing. In any condition, if you remember Krishna, you become Krishnized, spiritually saturated. And that Krishnaization, that spiritual saturation, is the only way that you can realize God. And it's available to everyone. No one is excluded. Nobody's excluded. Just see how kind is Krishna. How benevolent, how munificent is Krishna. How much love Krishna has for every single living entity throughout the entire existence. In Krishna's eyes, nobody is insignificant. No one is insignificant. Every single jiva is most dear to Krishna. So, in terms of having a loving relationship with Krishna, there's no problem from Krishna's side. He's giving unlimited mercy at every minute. The problem is us. That's the problem. We're greedy, selfish, lusty, angry, illusioned, envious rascals. That is the problem. It's a pitiful position that we're in, actually. Pitiful position. So much love Krishna is giving, How much are we reciprocating? Hardly at all we are reciprocating with Krishna. So, how do we get out of this deplorable condition? This non-reciprocatory quagmire in which we have so deeply sunk. How do we get out of this madhouse of selfishness? That is by the mercy of the pure devotees. That mercy of the pure devotees trickling down to the Guru Parampara. Why trickling? It's a powerful torrent of mercy coming down from the spiritual masters. All we have to do is step into the shower of mercy. If you're dirty, no problem. Just step into the shower. The shower is there. The Guru Parampara shower of mercy. It's a powerful spigot shooting the mercy. Just get in that shower. That's all you have to do. How do you get in that shower? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And what's the other item mentioned by Prabhupada? Take prasadam. If you will chant Hare Krishna and you will take prasadam, you're in the shower of mercy. And that will cleanse the dirt from the heart that has accumulated for thousands and millions of lifetimes. You will come back to your original state of consciousness. Actually, now, Buddha speak of not being Krishna conscious. We're not even conscious. Practically, we're in a death-like state, you see. Practically, we're unconscious. But by this shower of mercy coming from the great acharyas, you see, Mahajano yena gatasya panta. One must follow that pathway of the great acharyas by connecting with this great, great mercy. And we become delivered from our bee-like state, trapped in the wall of birth and death. We come. Actually, it's the word grass worm is the simile given here. They're a grass worm condition trapped in the wall. You see, we come out of that position. We become liberated souls. We come back to our natural position. We actually regain our eternal relationship with Krishna in any one of five primary rasas. That will eventually be attained. We can't jump prematurely to that position. That's sahajism. Imagining that we're already liberated souls while we're still contaminated with lust, greed, anger, madness, illusion, and envy. But we should know, surely, that by the mercy of the great acharyas, especially the mercy of one greatest Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We should know absolutely that by following this process given by the great Acharyas, that we will come back to our original consciousness, we'll regain our eternal relationship with Krishna in His divine pastimes. We have nothing to do with these material bodies except for one thing. Engage them in Krishna's service. Nothing else to do. These material bodies. They are not meant for sense gratification. They are not meant for our enjoyment.
If you try to enjoy this body, you will not enjoy. You will suffer. But if you engage this body in the service of Krishna, you see, then you become unlimitedly happy. That is the message of the great acharyas. So we simply must follow that pathway, obey their instructions. They are showing us clearly what is the way out of this material madness, this material bedlam, this material insanity, this material quicksand. They are showing us how to get out of here. All we have to do is just take heed, take note, pay attention to what they're saying and follow it. That's it. It's not difficult. To become a pure devotee is not difficult. You simply have to follow the instructions. That's it. Just like I gave the example yesterday, banana cake. It's not difficult to make banana cake. Even a kid can do it. You just got to follow the recipe. That's it. You can't concoct your own recipe. You have to follow the recipe given in the cookbook. By following the standard recipe given in the cookbook, step by step by step by step, then you will get very nice banana cake. So we have to follow the steps. They're given very clearly in the Nectar of Devotion. What are the steps? The first step mentioned is to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, Adhagara Shvayam. There are so many steps given. Then you are to take initiation, follow his instructions, under his guidance, follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. In this way, so many items are given, a big long list. But the first five items, which are the most essential items, are all based, are all centered on the principle of accepting a spiritual master. Because if I try to become Krishna conscious on my own, without taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, how can I be successful? Because I'm not following the instructions. Is it? Krishna confirms in the Adi Purana, he says, Ye me bhakta jana parata, no me bhakta shtate janaha, mad bhakta namche ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. He says, the one who is my devotee, na me bhaktas, he's not my devotee. But the one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So, how much you're devoted to Krishna's devotee, that is how much you're actually devoted to Krishna. You may say, well, why does Krishna have to do it like that? Why does he have to put somebody in the way? Can't I just directly approach him? Yes, you can directly approach him. Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita purport that our approach to Krishna is simultaneously direct and indirect. You are directly approaching him, and this is how you do it. Through the meeting of the spiritual master. Someone says, I'd like to talk directly with this person. It's okay, I can do that. Here's my mobile phone. You can talk to him right now directly. So you're directly talking to him, right? Well, yes, but not really. You're talking to the mobile phone. You're talking to the mobile phone, and it translates the sound vibrations into some kind of, electrical impulses that are then transmitted through the ether and then retranslated on the other end on the other phone. So you're not really, you're actually just creating some kind of impulses that are transmitted through the ether, and then, so you're not really directly talking to him in one sense, but you are and you're not directly talking to that person. You see? But I am directly talking with them. So in the same way, you're directly connecting with Krishna. This is how you do it. To the medium of the bona fide spiritual master.
The beauty of it is that we're meant to love Krishna, have a personal relationship with Krishna. But Krishna, we cannot see him in our present state. Even though Krishna is right here, right now, before us, you see, we cannot see. Because we're covered by these things, lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. Cannot see. But we can see the spiritual master, who's the external manifestation of the Lord within the heart. We can see him. And because Krishna creates relationship or identity or situation where how much we love the spiritual master, that automatically transforms into love of Krishna. So even if you can't see Krishna, you can't feel love for him, you can feel love for the spiritual master. When Prabhupada was here, we didn't know. Of course, Prabhupada is here. What I say, when he's here, Prabhupada's always here. When Prabhupada was physically, externally manifested, walking around, doing morning walks, lectures, conversations, letters, everything. When he was physically manifest, you see, you could see him, you could talk with him, you could touch his lotus feet, he could reciprocate with you, you see. So whatever love you would feel for Srila Prabhupada, that automatically transforms. In other words, whatever Prabhupada prema you have, it automatically translates into Krishna prema. Even though we can't see Krishna and personally reciprocate with him, of course the deity is there, but you know, we're so dull-headed we see a marble statue. We don't see the personality of God as standing there, you see. But we can see the spiritual master. So it's not that the spiritual master is somebody who's getting in the way of our relationship with Krishna. He's simply the facilitator of our relationship with Krishna. You see. So this very important thing, given in Nectar Devotion, the necessity of Guru. So we will take advantage of Krishna's divine arrangement for how we can reestablish our lost loving relationship with him. Then our life will be so sublime, really, really sublime. Krishna consciousness is so wonderful that it transcends all of the sufferings and enjoyments of this material world. Someone may say, but I can understand transcending the sufferings, but why transcend the enjoyments? I mean, come on. I enjoy my Budweiser. I enjoy my, cigars. Why take away the pleasures of life on the way back to Godhead, you know? People may argue like that. They do. Then you Hare Krishnas are crazy. Come on. You're giving up the very enjoyable things. Sex pleasure. Wow, I love it. It's great. You're giving it up. What kind of idiots are you? Giving up sex pleasure? How you can be happy without sex? You see? There's no life without sex. You see? They can't understand how we give up these pleasures. They don't realize that these pleasures are actually the source of misery. Why is that? These pleasures, of course, whatever you need for keeping yourself healthy, do that. You must do that. Your body is not your body. It's Krishna's body. Just like in the U.S., they have a term for a soldier. They call him a G.I., G.I. means government issued, because everything he has is government issued. His hat, his socks, his belt, his pants, his canteen, his rifle, his bullets, it's all government issued. So he's government issued also, practically. He becomes a government issued entity. Soldier number so-and-so, you see.
GI, government issue. So, for devotee, even this body is GI, it's God issued. Is it GI? I don't have anything. The soldier doesn't possess anything. It's all government issued. Everything he has is government issued. And when he leaves the military, he has to leave everything behind. Can't take anything with him. It's all government property, everything he has. So the devotee, also, you see, he understands, this is all God's property. This body, everything I have, it's not mine really. It's all the property of God. It's all meant, therefore, to be used in the service of God. The soldier, he can use that weapon to shoot an enemy, you see. And he gets a medal for doing that. But if he uses that same government-issued weapon to shoot a civilian in his hometown, then he's guilty of murder and he'll be put to death. Our life imprisonment now, they've tried to do away with capital punishment, thinking they're doing a favor for the criminal. They want to do a favor for the criminal, you see. So the devotee sees, actually, this body is simply the property of God. It's meant to be used in His service. So I need to keep it in good health for the Lord's service. But it's not for my enjoyment. It is simply for the Lord's enjoyment. So I take as much, quote, enjoyment, unquote, as is necessary to keep myself in a position where I can give enjoyment to Krishna. That is called sannyasi. That is called Goswami. And that we are all meant to be. We are all meant to be renounced from material sense gratification. Even if we're householders, having children, still we are meant to restrict that sex pleasure. Prabhupada gave in clearly clear instructions. Sex life, my householder, if he wants to, they want to have children, then once in a month, just after the menstrual cycle, when the woman is most potent for giving birth to a child, then once in a month, after chanting 50 rounds of japa, then the husband and wife can combine for sex pleasure, for producing child, you see. Prabhupada made very clear, the sex pleasure, household life doesn't mean a license, you can have sex as much as you want, no. As little as possible, that is the standard. You see? Also, taking Vishadava doesn't mean that you can just eat and become a huge couch potato. Vishadam, we take Vishadam for enthusing ourselves in devotional service and energizing ourselves in our service, not that we just want to gratify our tongues. Of course, Prabhupada was also very merciful in that connection. He was very lenient. Vishnu Janaswami asked Prabhupada, because he was very much into being merciful and making devotees. That was his mood. So he said, Srila Prabhupada, what if somebody, all they want to do is take prasadam and nothing else? They don't want to do any service, they just want to take prasadam and nothing else. Prabhupada said, As long as they chant Hare Krishna between each bite, it's okay. So Prabhupada is very merciful when it comes to prasadam. They let them come and take to their full satisfaction as much as they like. Actually, in the early days, Prabhupada encouraged them, take more, take more. They were just completely stuffed. Take more, take more, take more, take more, take more. At 26 Second Avenue. And then Prabhupada said, now you should eat less. After he got him addicted to Krishna consciousness. So Amapati Prabhu, he said, but Swamiji, you said we should eat more. And now you're saying we should eat less. Prabhupada said, you didn't have any trouble following the first instruction. So
we are encouraged to take Vishalam to our full satisfaction. But one, as one becomes mature in Krishna consciousness, he wants to maximize his service. He wants to maximize his ability to learn the scriptures, to do so many varieties of services to please Srila Prabhupada, to please the Vaishnavas. Naturally, he will be inspired to eat what he can easily digest without becoming, completely bloated. It's a natural. One advances in Krishna consciousness, he becomes an efficiency expert. He wants to be very, very efficient in his practice of Krishna consciousness. So he takes prasad, whatever will maximize his ability to hear, chant, remember, and serve. Not just for the sake of prasadam and then sleep, you see. So the more that we can actually bring the senses under control by always keeping absorbed in the service of Krishna, service of Guru, service of Srila Prabhupada, the more we can keep these senses under control, the more we become happy. The uncontrolled senses, they are compared to wild horses. The mind is compared to the reins, and the driver is compared to the intelligence, and the jiva, the spirit soul, is compared to the passenger. So just imagine if the driver takes the reins and he throws them in the air and let the horses run wild. You see, what will happen? They'll go crazy. Go off the cliff, you see. So don't let your senses control you. You control your senses. That is Krishna consciousness. Don't let the mind control you. You control your mind. Become the master of your mind, not the slave of your mind. That is Krishna consciousness. The mind is a very, very tricky fellow. A wild character, actually. Very, very wild character. Sometimes the mind is compared to a bucking bronco, just like in the old days in Texas, out in West Texas. They had the wild broncos, wild horses, roaming the prairies, you see. So a cowboy, he would capture a horse. Now this is a very nice horse, very strong horse. If I can tame this horse, then I get very good service from this horse. But does that horse want to be tamed? No. So it's a battle between who's going to be the master and who's going to be the servant, you see. So that cowboy, he mounts that horse. Okay, now I'm the master. You do what I say. And what does the horse do? It's called bucking bronco. He takes his rear legs and he whips them up in the sky to throw that cowboy off of him. You go, whoop. He whips his rear legs into the air to throw the cowboy off, you see. That's what they're called, bucking bronco. They buck, whoop, their rear legs into the air to throw that cowboy off their back, you see. But that cowboy, he's more determined to master the horse, and the horse is to throw off the cowboy. So eventually, the cowboy wins and the horse surrenders. All right, I'll do what you say. You're my master, I'll do what you say. You see? So our minds, they're bucking broncos. And we have to be more determined to bring that rascal under control, and that rascal is to predominate. It's not a 5-minute job. It takes years and years. Practically, it can take a whole lifetime, actually, of practice to do that, you see. It's a very, very slow, gradual process of gradually bringing that mind under control. But if one exercises due persistence and due diligence, patiently, determinedly, enthusiastically, always feeling dependent on Krishna and begging his mercy, "My dear Lord, please help me conquer my rascal mind. Please, Krishna, help me. Please, Srila Prabhupada, help me. Please, Guru Maharaj, help me." You see? If one is always in this mood of begging for the mercy, knowing that I have to bring this mind under control, I have to be able to fix it firmly at the lotus feet of Krishna without any deviation, and not be diverted anymore by the material allurements. If one is very, very determined in this way, then surely he will be successful. We need to have the determination of somebody who's going for the Olympic gold. At least that much determination we should have. Someone who's trying to get an Olympic medal, what do? They hire a trainer. That's the first thing. That's the spiritual, our trainer is our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. Is it? We have a trainer. And what does that Olympic aspirant do? He follows the training program given by the trainer very diligently. And that Olympic aspirant, he sacrifices things like going to parties, getting drunk, so many things his old friends like to do. He's no longer interested in doing those things. He's interested in one thing. He has a one-pointed determination. I'm going to get that Olympic gold medal, you see. And every day he works out for hours. Hours and hours. Every day working hard, regulated. Every single day he works out for many, many hours. Training, 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 day after day, week after week, month after month, you see. In this way, very, very determined to win that Olympic gold medal. So this is the kind of determination, you see, we need. Olympian determination, you see, to become fixed up in Krishna consciousness. If we take it in this way, you see, we will be successful. Prabhupada guarantees it. He guarantees. Prabhupada will make sure he will help us, you see. He will definitely help us. If we have that unflinching determination, that mercy will come from Srila Prabhupada, and we will be successful. There's no doubt. This process works, period. But there's one condition. You have to work the process. If you don't work the process doesn't work. But if you work the process works. So you have to decide, am I willing to work this process? Do I want the result of Krishna Prema? Do I want the result of regaining my original transcendental identity in the pastimes of Krishna and in Goloka Vrindavan? Do I want that? Greater than any Olympic medal. Do I want that? If I don't want it, well, just do whatever you want. Be a dog, you see. You don't want that. But if you want that, if you want to achieve that perfection, then you have to do the training program. You have to follow the training program. Sadhana bhakti, you have to. You can't get the goal. Of course, some you may say, well, it happens sometimes. I'm just going to wait around for that honorary degree. I'm not going to enroll in the university. I'm just going to wait for my honorary degree, you know. Just like that Muslim who went back to Godhead, you know. The wild boar was attacking him. He went, "Haram!" In anger, "You detestable creature, haram!" As he was being killed. And he went back to Godhead because he said Ram at the last moment, you see. So I'm just going to be like that. I'm just going to be like that Muslim. I'm just going to make a little mental note and chant Krishna's name. You know, I have a little reminder in my iPhone that when death comes, you know, it's going to pop up and say, "Remember Krishna." But your battery may be dead. You see, don't depend on some little gimmick. If you really want it, you got to pay the price. You have to work. How hard do we work to earn a livelihood? We work so hard to earn a livelihood. We should work even harder to become Krishna conscious. And it's so joyful. It's not drudgery. It's so joyful. That nice verse 9-2, Raja Vidya Rajaguyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Prajakshavagamam Dharmyam Shushukam Kratamam Yayam. Prabhupada was so nicely telling us in Los Angeles. Susukam. Because sukam means no happiness, but susukam means very, very happy. Extremely happy. Susukam. You see. So he said, this is back in the old days when he was still Swamiji, even not Prabhupada yet, to us, to our consciousness. He said that you cannot find anything. He said, this Krishna consciousness is Susukam. You cannot find anything about it that you can say, Swamiji. This point is troublesome. He said, there is nothing at all troublesome. It is simply recreation. Actually, it's a fact. It's a party. Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan party. We are partying 24 hours a day. We get up and party every morning at 4:30 in the morning. We party at night, we party in the morning. We go out and have a party all day, chanting in the streets, distributing books, or working a job to support the party. That's also a party, you see. Our program is, this is the partying movement, you see. We party more than anybody else. We're the heavy, heavy partiers. We're partying our way back to Godhead, you see. Actually, as a fact, Prabhupada, there was one of these holy man, so-called holy man conferences in North India when Prabhupada was here. All the Mayavadis giving their dry Vedantic statements. And Prabhupada came also. They invited Prabhupada. So, and he, all the dry, speculative word jugglers made their pronouncements. And then Prabhupada had his dancing white elephants come in and do a big kirtan, and the whole place exploded. People just went into ecstasy with Prabhupada's. The dancing white elephants, you know, went out there and created a sensation. So Prabhupada was talking to the devotees. He said that actually, you know, they're by their mental speculation. You know, they're not going back to Godhead, but simply by taking prasadam, we will go back to Godhead. So this is such a nice movement. Kevala Ananda Kanda, you see. It's simply joyful movement. Simply pleasurable movement. So we have about 5 minutes left, according to my watch. Are there any questions? Yes.
We challenge the atheists to produce something out of nothing, to prove their theism. Mm-hmm. So how can, if someone challenges on this grass worm being, remembering the bee, and then being born as a bee, how can we prove it?
How can you prove it? How can you prove that the grass worm becomes a bee?
Yeah.
By thinking about a bee? Well, there's one way you can do it. Become a grass worm and think of the bee and see what happens. That's how you can definitely prove it. You become a grass worm, and then when the bee traps you in the hole, you think of that bee in fear and enmity, and then see what happens in your next life. And that will prove it. Next question.
Thank you for your time. You were saying that the spiritual master is not someone who's in the way of our relationship to Krishna, but he's a facilitator.
Yeah.
So, what are the? How can you tell if you're treating your spiritual master like someone who's in the way?
How do you know if you're properly treating him and seeing him the right way, like that? Well, Prabhupada has given the example of how the Mayavadi, they use guru like a ladder, you see, to get up on the branch of the tree and then kick away the ladder. You see. If you feel yourself becoming more and more indebted to your spiritual master, the more you advance in Krishna consciousness, the more you feel indebted to him, then you'll see him in the right way. If you feel more and more indebted to him and more grateful. But if you think, well, you know, Guru Maharaj really helped me a lot, but now, you know, I'm really together. You know, I'll be initiating disciples very soon. I'm really together now. Then you're pretty bad shape. You should be feeling more and more and more and more dependent and indebted to your spiritual master. That should be always increasing more and more. Then you're seeing him in the right way. Yes, Prabhu?
Thank you for a great class. I was just going to comment a little bit that there are so many things that they cannot prove, even in science. Like gravity, it acts. They don't know why. There's so many things they can't prove. So asking us to prove this statement, like asking, you can ask them, well, prove there's gravity. So it's just nonsense, you know. Those kind of arguments, either they're ready to hear, and like Vaisheshika says, you pick the right of the fruits, or you just don't waste your time with some people and go somewhere else.
Yeah, it's stated in the Mahabharata that with mundane logic, you cannot understand that which exists beyond the realm of mundane logic. So, you can only take, philosophy and logic to a certain point. Beyond that, you have to actually experience the transcendental existence. We can logically prove that there is a God and that God's a person. That we can do, but how do you logically prove that there are arguments. But the real proof is when you actually meet Krishna, you experience Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by purified senses. Takshi Krishna Nama Di Nabhavit Grayam Indriyai Sevon Muke Hijivado Svayam Eva Svadatyadaha. No one can understand the transcendental name, fame, form, pastimes, entourage, characteristic qualities, dham, etc., etc., of the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead with his blunt, materially contaminated senses. Only when one is Krishnized, spiritually saturated, by engaging his senses in the service of the Lord, beginning with the tongue, are the transcendental name, fame, form, pastime, entourage, qualities, dham, etc., teachings, etc., 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 revealed to him. So if you really want to, as George said in the Krishna book, I think it was, the proof of the pudding's in the eating. Well, I want you to scientifically prove to me what this pudding tastes like. Give me, scientific document that I can fully understand what this pudding tastes like. Give me a scientific document, you see, that's being published in the Scientific American to prove what this pudding tastes like. They can go on for millions of years with millions of scientific experiments and documentation, but they will never be able to taste the pudding unless they put it in their mouth, you see. So put it in your mouth, and then you can taste it. Chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So I thank you all very much for your hearing today. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.